If you have your Bibles tonight, let's open them once again this evening over to the book of Genesis. I read three verses in your hearing this morning. I want to read those again just to kind of get the subject matter. The Bible said in, I know you're turned to Genesis, that's okay, but the Bible said in Romans 4:3, and what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Galatians 3:6 said, even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And James 2:23 said, and the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. At the moment of salvation, the Lord takes away our sin, takes that off of our account, and puts onto our account the righteousness of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That sure is a blessing, isn't it? I've told you this before, I won't go in detail, but my grandpa on my dad's side was what they called a horse trader. He didn't trade horses, he just traded everything else, amen. But I do believe the best trade I ever made in my life is when I traded my sin for his righteousness. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege, our Lord, to be back in the house of God. Lord, I am thrilled tonight and humbled at the same time by your presence. Lord, by the sweet spirit among your people. Lord, I pray that the Holy Ghost would help us to preserve this atmosphere, that you might ever, Lord, have liberty to work in the pastor's heart and in the people's heart. Lord, folks that come in and out from Sunday to Sunday, God, I pray that you'll just continue to work in hearts and lives. Lord, we've seen some people in recent days coming that, Lord, we've prayed for. And Lord, at times our faith grew weak. We didn't know, God, but Lord, you worked and you've increased our faith. You've strengthened our faith. And God, we pray you continue to work in our midst. I pray, Lord, tonight that you'd clothe us in our calling. Help us, our Father. Make, Lord, the message and the messenger a blessing to your people. God will give you glory for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Abraham believed God. I believe that's important, don't you? And we looked this morning that Abraham believed God when it came to leaving. And that's hard when you think about it. I didn't give an illustration this morning, but just before I plow on in the message, I think I'm almost positive I've shared this with you before, but when it came time for me to leave the first church that I pastored, God began to deal in my heart, and I just always want to be sure. I don't want to ever act in a rash way, amen, and God began to stir in my heart, deal in my heart. And I sought counsel. And it's not that I have anything against younger preachers, Brother Aaron, but I sought counsel, and I'm sure you have too. I know you have, because I'm an older preacher now. And sought counsel from older preachers, and all of them said basically the same thing. Brother Benoit, you have a family. God's called you into the ministry, and I wouldn't go anywhere without a place to go. That's what they more or less told me. I'd just wait on God to open a door. One day I was reading my Bible, and the Lord rubbed my nose, Brother Thurman, in Hebrews 11, where it said Abraham obeyed God. He didn't know where he was going. What a step of faith that was. And I'm going to tell you, I can tell you on the authority of God's word, God has honored that step of faith in my life. Amen. I didn't have a job. I didn't have a home. I didn't have anywhere to go. I had a back that was killing me, and didn't have any money. But I had Jesus, and I can report to you tonight, I've still got Jesus, Amen. And he is truly what we need and all that we need. So this morning when it came to leaving, Abraham believed God. And then we began to touch. We just touched on the thought when it came to leaning. I believe one of the reasons we need to pray is because it acknowledges to God that we can't do it alone. That we need someone to lean on in our life. We need somebody to help us in our life. Aren't you glad he's a very present help in a time of need? Just some of the scriptures tonight. When you look in Genesis chapter number 12 and verse number 7, and then again in verse number 8, the Bible said, "And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto thy seed, will I give this land? And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south." It might be something that would be easily overlooked, but I don't think it should be overlooked tonight. The fact that Abram was blessed of God and believed God, and I believe that the major part of what the Bible's talking about when it said Abraham believed God is Genesis 22, when he was willing to march his son up on the mountain, amen, and willing to bind his son and willing to take his son's life. I do believe that's the major part of what the Bible's talking about. The Bible said God did tempt Abraham. I'm kind of going backwards tonight by touching on that first. That's the last thing in the message. But I want you to understand tonight, without leaving and without leaning, without these altars, you never get to Genesis chapter number 22. Amen? And so I believe that, in other words, I think sometimes that we put a lot of emphasis on that giant step of faith or that giant act of faith, but we put very little emphasis on those little steps, those insignificant to the world steps, amen, that got him there. I was listening to a man preach the other day, and I believe he was talking about a revival over in England. I'm not sure. I so many things run together. I don't have a real good memory. But the man where the revival broke out under his ministry, he had prayed for 13 years every day. In other words, there are a lot of people would look at that meeting that took place and that revival that broke out and talk about what a work of faith. But they didn't see the closet for 13 years as he prayed and begged God to work in that country. And so when you go to, I touched on this morning. I'll touch again just in case there's someone that wasn't here. But when you get into verse 10 down through verse number 20, Abram is down in Egypt, and he doesn't build an altar there. Now, I may be wrong about this. I sat there on the front bench thinking about something Brother Mitchell would say. Some of you men that went to breakfast, and you get out of the pulpit, so to speak, get off with him and fellowship with him. Brother Ralph, he'd say this often when he was discussing the Bible. He'd say, "I think that's right, don't you?" Am I right, Brother Ralph? You get talking about something, he'd say, "I think that's right, don't you?" And in other words, he wasn't dogmatic, Brother Steve. He wasn't going to cram it down anybody's throat. Now, he was dogmatic about what the Bible's dogmatic about. But I think it's right when I look at the Bible tonight, don't you, that there's a reason Abram didn't build an altar in Egypt. Egypt is a type of the world. It's a type of that place, beloved, where we're not supposed to be friendship with the world. The friendship of the world is at enmity with God. And he didn't build an altar in Egypt, and in Egypt where, beloved, he actually became a little bit of a deceiver, amen, and talking about his wife, Sarai. But as soon as you get out of that, I think this is interesting. I thank God that I don't believe it took Abram long to learn. Look in chapter number 13 and verse number 1. "And Abram went up out of Egypt, and he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning. Glory to God. You know what he's doing, don't you? He's getting back, Brother Ralph, where he's supposed to be. Amen. Back where he was in the beginning. Now watch this. And the Bible said between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar, which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. I read this morning early. And boy, I tell you, God's good. I remembered my pastor years ago, right after I got saved. I was called to preach about 30 days. I say about. I could look at a calendar and tell you it exactly. But it was really, really close to a month after that I was saved that God called me to preach. And it wasn't long after that my pastor, Brother Bud Wishon, had to be out of town. And he said, Brother Vinoy, I want you to preach for me that Sunday, if you will. I said, Brother, I'd be honored to. And I preached that morning, and I was excited then about preaching. I'm excited now about preaching. I'm just excited to get to preach. And I preached that morning and went home that afternoon. And I would always wonder, and I was just wondering, Lord, what do you want me to do? I surrendered already to it. Lord, if you want me to be an evangelist, if you want me to be a missionary, if you want me to be a pastor, God, I just don't know what you want me to do, but here I am. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll be whatever you want me to be. I mean that. There was an absolute surrender in my life when the Lord saved me. Well, that evening, I had a message that I thought was just red hot off of the altar of the Lord. And I was ready to preach. I was excited about preaching. And I was headed down a long corridor. It would be kind of like walking down that long from the outreach room but down through there. And I was headed down through there at Landmark Baptist Church. And I'm telling you, it wouldn't have been any different than it was when Balaam's donkey stopped in the way. Amen. I'm telling you, I didn't see anything. But the Holy Ghost of God stopped me in my tracks. I had come out of a little Sunday school room. In that little Sunday school room, the pastor had put me a desk in there, and that was my study. And I had a few little bookshelves on the wall, and just very few little books on the wall. But I had the book of books, amen. I was consumed with it, amen. And I stopped there in the way, and it was about, 10 minutes before service time. And I stopped there in that hallway. And the Lord stopped me, and what he whispered in my ear was this: you didn't ask me what they needed. I began to weep. I turned around and I ran back to that Sunday school room. I got down on my face and I said, God, you're right, I'm wrong. I didn't ask you what they needed. But Lord, if you'll tell me what they need, I'll go back with your help and I'll preach whatever it is that they need tonight. I went back to the pulpit. The Lord there in prayer, Brother Aaron, put a little thought on my heart. Another trial. Why me? That's what I preached on that night. Another trial. Why me? You say, preacher, I don't understand what you're trying to say. I'm trying to say Abram believed God. He went back to the place. When I read this in the Bible, God took me back to the place. Back to that altar, amen. Back to those places. That's the place, amen, where I spent all night with Jesus before I accepted the pastorate in the first church when God put me in that. I'm telling you, beloved, I believe it'd be good for God's people to go back to the place. Amen. That place of blessing where you knew you were getting answers from God and you knew God's hand was upon you. Don't let that place get cold. Don't let that place get cold. Abram spent a little time in Egypt. He said, you know what I better do? I better get back to the place. I better get back where all this started. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. You might not believe this tonight, but we're living in a generation. I'm talking about from the pulpit to the pew. It's easy to get your feet out there in Egypt and get away from your roots, amen, and get away from that place of blessing where God poured it on you in the beginning, amen. And tonight, I went back and I went to the pulpit that night and preached. I'd been praying, see, about direction. God, what do you want me to do? Been praying. I went that night and preached on another trial. Why me? You had to understand our church, and I'm not saying this, I'm not throwing stones. It's that way a lot in our church. We have a lot of services where no one comes to the altar. It was that way in that church. There was a lot more services when no one came to the altar than services where someone came to the altar. I preached that night, and the altar was full from one side to the other. And I didn't understand it. About that time, a deacon, Brother Steve, laid a note on the pulpit. Said, Brother Rick, pray for Linda. That's his wife. Said she has a lump in her breast, and she's going to the doctor in the morning. Honest before God, God is my witness. I knew not one thing about that. But aren't you glad there's a God in heaven? Amen. If we'll just spend some time in the altar, amen, he'll let us know what the people need, amen. And I was walking back that night. Listen to me, you don't have to believe me, but about the same place in that hallway, the Holy Ghost of God stopped me again and said, you're going to be my pastor. One day you're going to be my pastor. And I never looked back after that, amen. I knew what God wanted me to do. Oh, beloved friend, when it comes to leaning, he built it an altar. He built it an altar. Let's look at this tonight, just briefly tonight. We're not going to get finished. There ain't no way to do this justice and try to get done this evening. But let me give you one more thing tonight. When it come to looking, when it came to looking, Abraham believed God when it came to leaving. Abraham believed God when it came to leaning. Aren't you glad we have one we can lean on tonight? Then Abraham believed God when it came to looking. Let me show you, excuse me, how the Lord has dealt in my heart with this. Look at verse 5, please. And the Bible talked about Abram was rich in cattle. And the Bible said in verse number 5, and Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land, excuse me, was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. I want everybody to underline that in your Bible. We be brethren. Would you underline that in your Bible? Underline it. And when old Slewfoot tries to get between you and me or between you and another brother or sister in Christ, I hope the Holy Ghost will just remind us to go back and read that little verse right there. We be brethren. Amen. How many's ever been in a situation where brethren didn't act like brethren? That's some of the ugliest things you'll ever see in your life, ever hear in your life. Amen. We be brethren. That's what Abram said. But remember this. Remember this tonight. I believe it's because there was an altar. There was no pride in Abram's life here. We're talking about the way now that Abram believed God, and when it came to looking, I'll show you in a moment what I mean. He said, is not the whole land before thee? You turn over to the rest of verse 9 and verse 10. It said, separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I'll go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes. Now, wait a minute. The Bible never did say Lot believed God, but it said Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. We know that Lot was a righteous man, don't get me wrong. If it hadn't been for that, he would have perished with everybody else in Sodom and Gomorrah. But I'm going to tell you, there's a big difference in the faith that's exhibited in Lot's life and the faith that is exhibited in Abram's life. Let me show you what I mean. The Bible said here, and Lot lifted up his eyes, and he beheld, excuse me, all the plains of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from the other. Let me just say something briefly, and we'll go on in the text tonight. When it came to looking, Lot saw a well-watered plain. He pitched his tent toward Sodom. But Abram, what he saw was a little bit different. He saw a promise from God. He was looking for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Let me say this to you tonight. You can boil this down to two things. Lot's choice was based on sight. Abram's choice was based on faith. You answer me tonight, how are God's people supposed to make choices in their life? I remember one time, and I don't say this in any reference to Eastman Chemical Company, because I do know several men that have retired from Eastman Chemical, but I was working for a little welding company outside of Baltimore in White Marsh, Maryland. I went into the city. I had a welding truck and a welder and acetylene and torches and a grinder and things of that nature on the truck, and I went into Baltimore working for a company called Allied Chemical under the direction of McDade Rigging. They were the riggers, and I was a welder and a fitter. And I went in there, and Brother Steve, both companies tried to hire me out from under the company that I was working for. They offered me some good money, but the best thing they offered you was the retirement. Man, it was out of this world, amen? And I'm not talking about Christian retirement now. I mean, as far as it make your eyes bug out. I was young. I just barely 18 years old. I didn't have a whole lot of sense. I just come in, laid it down in front of my boss. I said, look here, what they offered me. His nickname was Hoppy. He was about that tall, and I'm not talking about from down there. And he nicknamed me Ricker. He said, Ricker? He said, do me a favor, would you? I said, sure, Hoppy. He said, go back down there in the morning and start asking around and ask how many men have retired from that company. You know what I found out? You can offer an awesome retirement program if you don't live to get out of there. You say, preacher, what's that got to do with anything? Had I made a choice, I wasn't even a Christian at the time, but just based on sight, beloved, what I laid down there on that paper was awesome, amen? But there was somebody behind the paper that had a little bit of wisdom. How many believes there's a God in heaven that's got a lot more wisdom than we've got when it comes to making choices in life? And I believe with all of my heart tonight, the Lord spared me. The Lord spared me, and I appreciate him doing that, because all I could see was dollar signs and retirement figures, amen. And I say this tonight, and I don't mean it mean at all, but if you're a child of God, you better see something in life besides dollar signs. You better see something in life besides the retirement program, beloved. We better set our sights on the God of heaven. And we better, beloved, believe God that we might one day after a while discover that we've lived a life having been a friend of God and not an enemy of God. Abram looked for a city. Let's look here just a moment. The Bible said, Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, that's important, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. You remember this morning when you go over there, to the text, he said, I want you to get out of your country, your kindred, your father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. He said, I'm going to show it to you. But here, he said, I'm going to go a step further. You've let me do the choosing in your life, Abram. I'm going to give it to you. Look that away. Look that away. Look that away. Look that away. Everything you see is yours. Beloved, I'm going to tell you something right now. There's always been a danger in America of forgetting that Israel, that land belongs to Israel. That promise, beloved, that we read in the Word of God, I'll bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee, still stands today. The Bible is telling us here, Abram made a choice. Someone said this years ago, and I can't read this text without thinking about it. Lot's choice was good for cattle, but Abram's choice was good for children. I'll say this to you tonight. God help us if we ever get to the place. Boy, that fits in the modern day news, don't it? Whew, I didn't mean that to come out like that. But them idiots in Washington are choosing cattle over children. Is there anyone that didn't hear me? Do I need to repeat that? They're choosing cattle over children. They're more concerned about cattle than they are children. God help us. Here in the Bible, watch what the Bible said here. For all the land that thou seest, I will give it thee and thy seed forever. And I'll make thy seed as the dust of the earth. And if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. One of the things I realize here tonight, if you look at the text, in chapter number 13, God makes Abram a promise. Here, he promises Abram substance. In chapter number 17, in verse 15 through 19, I won't read it tonight, but he promises Abram a son. He makes Abram a promise because Abram's focus was not on the things of this world. There's another place over here. I don't know if I can find it hurriedly or not, but the Bible, speaking about Abraham, said, for I know him. There it is right there. In verse 19 of chapter number 18, God said, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. Aren't you glad the Lord knew him? Aren't you glad the Lord knows us? Beloved, the Lord's not going to require of us that we cannot do, but he most certainly will require of us that we can do. He made Abram a promise. We see that before the promise, there was prayer. After the promise, there was prayer. I want to say this tonight. One of the most dangerous times in the life of the Christian is after a great victory in their life. You've prayed about something, you've prayed about something, you've prayed about someone, you've prayed about a situation, and God moves and gives a great victory. That's one of the most vulnerable times for the child of God. But what we see here is God worked in Abram's life, and Abram says, you know what, I better not forget how this all got started. I better build me another altar and stay close to God. I believe that's important, don't you? We see the prayer. We see the promise. If you look at chapter 15, I close with this tonight. We see the protection as a result of Abram's choice. As a result of him looking, the Bible said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. How many believes between us and the imps of hell is a Father that loves us, amen, and will protect his children. I don't know about you tonight. Sometimes I leave the pulpit and I wonder if I've been able to convey what God's put in my heart in an adequate manner. But I believe it's important in these days. It's a simple thought, but God's looking for somebody that'll believe him. God's looking for somebody to say, you know what? Lord, you said it. You never did say anything that you didn't mean. And I'm going to act upon what you have told me. Beloved, that's how I got saved. And we're not supposed to just get saved that way. We're supposed to walk the rest of our days that way. I think Brother Brian brought out a text. I don't remember the address, but it's in Psalms. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. I'll say this tonight. The wise people in the family of God are not walking by sight. They're walking by faith. And that's what pleases God. I'm so glad you come tonight. Let me read you something tonight I thought was pretty good. It's kind of lightens things up a little bit. Jonathan Whitfield, he said the content of belief is important. Jonathan was preaching to coal miners in England. There's more truth in this than we'll ever admit, but listen what happens. He asked one man, he said, what do you believe? That man said, well, I believe the same as the church. So Jonathan said, well, what does the church believe? He said, well, they believe the same thing as me. Seeing he was getting nowhere, Whitfield said, and what is it that you both believe? He said, well, I suppose the same thing. That's about where a lot of people are. I'll say something tonight, and I mean this. It's good to have a godly mama. It's good to have a godly daddy. It's good to have a godly mamaw and a godly papaw. But honey, there better come a day when you pick this book up for yourself. And you just don't believe it because daddy believes it. But you believe it because the Spirit of God that's in your heart teaches you that God cannot lie and that he wants us to walk by faith. I mean, he's glad you come this evening.